Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He speaks to us in the heart. That's where everlasting change can occur. When you choose God's ways, your will can become established. And when we follow Him and go forward in the things of God, doing what He said do, when you make that choice, it strengthens and fortifies your will. Every word of God that you receive, it causes a process to happen. Every time you study the word and you receive it, you are growing. Every time. Even the scriptures you forget, you're still growing, because as long as the revelation knowledge of the scripture is in your heart, it will help you to understand the Lord, to desire more of His knowledge, to have appetite for the things of God, to have greater love for others, and to see the wisdom in it. Now, wisdom is the first thing. That's the introduction of knowledge. I'm basing this on what the Lord taught me. I asked Him His definition of wisdom, because I wanted to know the difference between wisdom and knowledge. And He said, wisdom is the trust of truth. It's the trust of truth. Everything that God made is a display. And it serves more than one function. The animals have characteristics. They do things a certain way. They're relaying a message in their activity. So does the trees. So does the flowers. You know, the trees, I taught my son, we were at Oak Mountain, and the trees, they're extending their arms, their branches to the sun, just like a man would be worshiping God. They're receiving from Him. When we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, we're connecting to Him. We're receiving the revelation knowledge from Him. We're receiving strength from Him. We're receiving might. We're receiving counsel. Whatever we need, we're receiving, and it makes us stronger. And we love Him. We're devoted to Him. We're expressing our devotion to Him. And in that bond, we're surrendering to Him. It's not just like a captive throwing his arms up, I surrender. No, you're surrendering your will to His will. When worship is in spirit and in truth, you're becoming, that's the first step in becoming an extension of the Lord. Remember, Jesus is the head. We're the body. And as long as we're connected to His mind, where He can give us orders and we do them. You know, when I want to take a step, my brain gives the signal for my leg to position my body and walk where I want to go. My leg don't, I wonder was that the brain. I wonder what, I think I wanted to go the other way. The body of Christ, when we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and when we live in spirit and in truth, we fall in order. And that's where prosperity is. That's where every form of success can be found. But when you're doing something else, you're getting a signal to do one thing and you're doing another, then the body is out of order. You're not functioning like you're supposed to. And everything is on hold until you get it together. So worship, when the trees, they're doing their function. They want to grow leaves. And when there are so many trees around, I showed my son, I said, see how that branch is going crooked? It went to the west end, it went to the east end, it went up. Well, the reason that is, the other tree was blocking the light, and the branches grow where they can get to the sun to grow leaves so that they can pick up the rays from the sun. The tree does whatever it takes. It can't move from the spot it's in, but it can grow branches where the light can be shown against the leaves. Now, the tree is trying to become stronger. And the more, it has to have so much sunlight and so much water. And the roots do the same thing. They go to where the water source is. Wherever they sense water, that's where the roots are growing. Every time it rains, a tree grows. It renews the, if it's at its proper height, it grows more branches to collect more sun to become even stronger. It's trying to do its purpose with all of its might. So when we worship God in spirit and in truth, we're doing the same thing. I don't just want to worship God in the safety of the church. I want my whole life to become worship. I want to represent him in every way. I want to be covenant appropriate. I don't want to just preach a good word. I want to connect with people and reach them. And I can't do it of myself. But Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I got to stay connected to the head. And I want to be, if a tree can be motivated to reach the sun, to reach out to the sun, how much more can we be motivated to reach God? And it's a blessing to be linked to the Lord through worship, through being yielded, living a yielded life. What if all of God's people lived a perfect yielded life? Did you know everything would be enhanced? Just like the tree. They're reaching out to the sun with all their might. They're getting the nutrients they need from the sun. And then when it rains, they're getting the water they need for their roots. And they grow strong. And they can withstand the evil forces such as the ants and the different insects and mold and things like that. You know, the moss, I mean, you know, they can withstand the things that would corrupt it. While the weaker trees, if they don't get enough light and water, they can't withstand nature, the woes of nature. But when we're linked to the Lord will position us. And this is what you want. See, this is the revelation of what unless people follow God, these kind of things can't happen the same. If you're poorly linked to God, then what he can do in your life is more limited. If he knows that you're consistently linked to him, you're giving it all you got, he's going to purge you, and you're going to bring forth more fruit. If you're bearing fruit, that means you're linked to him. That's the only way to bear fruit, because without him we can do nothing. Some Christians are not productive because they won't link to the mind of the Lord. They won't allow the Lord to tell them what to do. They question his judgment. And they question the judgment of the Holy Spirit. That's why the word tells us, Paul warned us not to quench the Spirit. This is what you want. After you get the Lord had to tell his people, when you get in this land, and once you get these houses and that you didn't build, and you can plant and eat food at your will, don't forget the Lord. And Jesse Duplantis did a wonderful job talking about how he don't forget. It's one thing to prosper. It's something greater when you don't forget. And you serve God today. He's not just the God of yesterday that gave you abundance and all that. And you just now your focus is on the abundance. No, you don't forget who gave it to you. And then he can trust you with greater. Now, that's why it's so important for every believer to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abound in the things of the Lord. And I noticed something. The people that yield to him as a way of life, it never stops. Now, when I mentioned Jesse, I just thought about something. He and Kenneth Copeland and many others, and Bill Winston and many others, there's so many, I don't want to leave anybody out, but I got to keep moving. The point is, when the Lord taught me about spiritual wealth, and it was really another revelation he gave me. It was about the cycle of life. He did bring it, he touched on it when he taught me spiritual wealth and spiritual debt. But before that, many years before that, he taught me the cycle of life. And the cycle of life is what he told Adam to do. And he told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. He told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. And when he taught me about the how wealth works, he said many millionaires do the first two steps. They're fruitful and they multiply. Then when it's time to replenish and go about doing good, giving to others, that's where they stop. So what usually happens is they get attached to their wealth and they can't grow their wealth, because in God's kingdom, you're fruitful. And I'm going to give the definitions again. I said, Lord, what's your definition of being fruitful? He said, to prepare yourself to give profit. I said, what does it mean to multiply? He said, to increase greatly. And I told my friend Odie these things. And Odie said, you know, to multiply is to at least double. Oh, that was good revelation. I tell you, I'll never forget that day. You know, I've seen God move in my backyard. And sometimes greater than I did in churches, especially when Odie was around. But nevertheless, he's a real good friend of mine. He's an apostle also. But anyway, the things of God, they keep moving. When you look at the stars, God's been doing something a long time for good reason. None of those stars are a waste of time. And every one of those stars is a sun somewhere with planets and people around it. Now, if you're brainwashed by the scientists and believe that we're the only people here, then you're wrong. Let me ask, since I just went there, let me say, why in the world would Satan say, I'm going to exalt my throne above the clouds, above the stars? I mean, these are realms, folks. These are realms. I will also be in the great congregation. Now, be like the Most High. You know, when he fell, that's why there are realms out there. And he wanted to be over everything, be like God. But anyway, God multiplies. He didn't just make one planet and say, well, you know, I'm happy with this. I just sit right. No, he made others and people that can enjoy him. And he loves every single person personally. And our nations, as amazing as it is, he said, that's like a drop in the bucket. God is good and he's powerful. And he did all this. He told Abraham to count the stars. So when God means multiply, he means multiply. When you connect to him, you become unlimited. And not like earth scientists that think you got it all figured out in your hubris pride. See, the God can teach you perfectly. The Holy Spirit is better than any encyclopedia set. And what amazes me is Christians, they brag about speaking in tongues and having the Holy Spirit, and then they turn around and don't listen to them sometimes. You can be learning from the Holy Spirit every day at your will. It puzzles me why people don't seek the Lord. When the Lord gave me the assignment of sharing with pastors about following God, I thought that was a cakewalk at first, until I did it. I thought it was going to be as easy as a cakewalk. I said, these men of faith are going to hit it. They're going to take this message and do something good. In fact, I thought it was just going to be a short season. And then he'd give me another assignment. That's what I really believed. I said, all of these churches are going to explode. Everyone he sent me to, this is what I believe. I thought I was going to, they already impressed me. But the revelation that God gave me, they were going to do a multiplication of what they had already done. Every one of them. And I know what would have happened if they did, because God told me. He had me to write it down. I thought it would have been a multiplication. It would have taken time, but it would have happened. And I couldn't wait to see it. And I gave the Lord would give me a word at home. I go to church. Sometimes I never met the pastor. I just knew of him. Never met him a day in my life, personally. Some of them I listened to on the radio. Some of them I heard about. And the Lord would tell me where to go and when. And he'd give me a word before I go. And I'd preach that. I'd write the word down. This is how it usually went. Sometimes it was a spoken word. Most of the time it was a written word. Usually the first time was always a written word. Not always, but sometimes it was just a spoken word. A simple one. And I thought that they would just love to follow God. So I would write this word at home in my best handwriting. So it was readable. I made sure it could be read, and I'd give it to them. Now, when I get to church, they would always be speaking in the language of that word. Sometimes it's like half of their message would be what I already wrote at home. So they didn't see me writing in church. They know I wrote it somewhere else. And here it is. It's like a copy of that message in some parts of it. And the Lord was giving them instructions. And he used me to do it. Some of them was profound. They was just astounded. They knew it was God. And this is what usually happened. They usually did more of what they thought God wanted. But see, being connected to the mind of Christ, the Word of God, and not just the Word of God, the properly interpreted Word of God, which is the revelation that the Holy Spirit can give you from it, that connects you to the head and the guidance of the Holy Spirit himself connects you to the head. And when you cooperate with it, then your will begins to form according to God's word and according to worship. If your heart is set to obey God and you want to know him, then this is what you do. And then when it works out, it becomes a way of life. And that's what I always wanted to see happen. And I thought I would see it every time. I didn't go by how the last guy did to later years. The last pastor, he sent me to a new one. I wouldn't judge him based on what others did. Until a few years, it's like I had no success, not the kind of success I was looking for anyway. And I was hoping maybe it'll just take more time for them to get on board. But I wanted to see what God had shown me about them. They were going to have magnificent ministries, and the ones that was already impressive was going to be off the charts. And they were on their way to being global ministries. But nevertheless, I remember a time the Lord had wanted me to meet a pastor, and I said, I don't want to meet no more pastors. I went home. I quenched the spirit and went home. I was tired of it. And then I got home, my heart smote me. I just said, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. I didn't have a right to do that. I told God I would obey him. And I asked him to forgive me for that. I knew he would. I said, I don't never want to do that again. Lord, help me to do right before you. I said, I'm going back. So that next weekend, I went back. Now, this was Michael Moore's church. I visited his church one Sunday. He told me, I don't want to meet no more pastors. I went back, at Faith Chapel. This was when he was at the school. Before the minister already impressed me before. And the word was very simple. And I didn't know what I was going to tell him until I stood before. And it was a simple word. I said, that's all you want me to say? I said, Pastor Moore, the Lord gave me a word. He said, you hadn't seen the half. And he just smiled. And I didn't think, I said, that's good. There was no long writing or nothing like I normally did. That's all I had to say. So that we went to Food World that day. And then the Lord explained to me. He said, all the pastors that wouldn't obey me. And he was talking about to his specifications. He said, I'm going to send them to him and he will train them. He will train them. I said, whoa. I was so glad I gave him that word. And then a lady that went to a church that I was going to, the Sunday I gave him that word, Well, the next Sunday, she said, I want to join this church, but first I'm gonna have a talk with my pastor, and I want to leave the right way. The Lord sent me here, and I'm going to be here, but I want to talk to my pastor. I'm going to leave the right. And it was one of my pastors, pastors I was dealing with. He was my pastor, too. It was one of his members, and some of his other members were already there. So that word came to pass. You know, I saw what God was talking about. People that were serious were going there instead of where they were. But before that happened, spiritual gifts began to flow. And I told this pastor that where the people had come from. I said, the Lord gave me a strange word. He's going to release spiritual gifts on the people. They're growing. And he said, and the word was encourage them to do that. I said, because it's a two-part word. If you don't do it, the Lord's going to send them somewhere else. And you know what he said? And I told him, I did my part. That's all I could do. He said, oh, they'll start getting in the flesh. He wouldn't do it. I said, man, listen, if you don't, the Lord's going to send them somewhere else. When spiritual people have to be trained to use spiritual gifts, and they're going to make mistakes. But that's all right. They're in a school. They're in a safe place to do it. Oh, yeah, they'll get in the flesh. And I'm like, I was so frustrated. Because now I knew that the ministry was not going to go where it was supposed to. You know, people might say, well, you took it personally. Yeah, for good reason. See, his ministry is just as important as every ministry. His ministry is just as important as Kenneth Hagin's ministry. If you quench the spirit, it can't grow. Now, what if Kenneth Hagin made decisions where he decided, we don't do it that way. Then it would have taken so much time for God to raise up another man or woman of God to do it. And God is dealing with time. Precious time. That's our main commodity. We have access to God's knowledge. We have access to the Holy Spirit. We have access to each other. But we only have so much time, and it's always running out. So I'm like, man, I was grieved because of this. Because I knew that was going to be a backup decision. And he did that. See, the point is this. Living a yielded life enables God to work through you and do his will. And he can, you're yielded to him, you're continually obeying him. He's taking you somewhere in the spirit. And every time you enter a new glory, then he's taking you're operating with more. It's so important to not forget the source and keep your eyes on him. Let the blessings come. Let the blessings do what they're designed to do. When you replenish, you're helping God establish others. You're supplying them with what they need. Malachi said, you're robbing God. Now, it's not about people focus on the problem that's going to happen to them if they don't. See, they were breaking covenant. That's why the enemy was, they're putting their loot, their money, in a bag with holes. Because they're in disobedience, and disobedience always opens the door for the devil. In fact, the Lord said, disobedience is the first cause of poverty. You're trying to make a God out of your belongings. And you're out of order. When you're an extension of God, you'll be wise with everything you got. And that's what Jesse the Planner said. He remembers his source. And then he uses, when he gets money, he said, all the money you give to this ministry goes straight to ministry. Because he's in order. The Lord taught him this. When you're in order, God can trust you. When you're an extension of him, you're calling for his trust, and it's wise for God to trust you, and you're wise because you trust God. And you use your faith in order. You can use your faith in disorder, or you can attempt to, because people that are skilled in using faith, they can use it for personal things. It's okay, you can use it for personal things. But the problem is they use it for personal things and not according to what God is doing. Your focus can change your connection to God. If you focus on pleasing people, if you focus on pleasing your wife only, and your focus is it'll stop being on God and start being on her, and things are going to go wrong. But when you keep your focus on the Lord, everybody's supplied according to covenant, according to what's appropriate, according to the wisdom of God. And nobody's left out. Your children, your wife, others. But see, when you can focus on church and trying to grow the church and not be focused on the Lord and not be focused on your family. And people, everything will be, God won't be in control anymore. You're not connected to the head. You're focused on one problem, trying to do good. And that's what happened to so many. But with Michael Moore, he said, my word was simple. You hadn't seen the hair. And then the Lord explained to me that he was going to send people that should have been trained other places to him. And it wasn't but a short amount of time. I mean, within a year or so. I forgot the year this was. It had to be 99, around, what, 2000 or the end of 99. He built a dome in Wylam. And it cost $15 million, and they paid for it cash. My sister called me and said, how did they do that? I said, the Lord did that. I had inside information. The Lord was going to send people to him. And all these other places that I had been, the Lord sent people to him. From many of those churches where they didn't follow God. So that word came to pass, and I saw it. The lady said, I'm going to join this church, but I want to go and talk to the pastor. I knew the pastor. Same one that I told, I wanted to let him release them, coach them in the spiritual gifts. Now, I don't tell people what to do, but God gave me that word. And if he didn't, he was going to send them somewhere, and he did. Now, I'm glad they had somewhere to go, but guess what? God's first plan would have been better than the second. Whatever God wants to do first, that's the best choice ever. That's the best choice for the time. And he has to have, see, there are people assigned to people. And when you help them get to where they need to be, you're going to be rewarded for it. So when you stall out, you can't be rewarded for faithfulness if you've been unfaithful. And you should have been faithful. And the only way to do any of this, stay connected to the head. Don't forget the source. And everything will be supplied. No job will be left out of your life. No joy would be left. God's getting to everything. You don't have to. People say, well, if he's doing this, what about me? You're going to be fine. You get on the program too. Sometimes the pastor's doing all he can. Then the wife will say, well, what about me? What am I going to do? You always focused on the ministry. No, focus on the Lord. The ministry will be supplied in due time. The wife will be supplied in due time. The children, your personal interests, all of it will be fulfilled. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Nothing will be forgotten. God will not forget anybody. He's still making planets and people and supplying them wherever they need it. So he got you. Do you have him? Are you connected? You stay connected, everything in due time will be in perfect order. But it's not without your will. He will not do it against your will. You got to be like the tree that won't it. The wife that's complaining about what the husband's not doing. Just focus on the Lord. You're going to be fine. He's going to be fine. He's going to understand you. Everything's going to be well put together. The husband that wants his wife's attention and her mind's on shopping or whatever, he's frustrated. Focus on the Lord. Everything will be worked out. One way or the other. You don't have to go around depending on people for anything, because the Lord will fully supply you. And he's looking for people he can bless. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro, looking for people with a perfect heart. Somebody that will say, yes, Lord. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. He's ready to fully supply you in every way there is in life. Obedience is the key. Connection to the Lord is the key. These broadcasts work together, one after the other. Whichever one you hear first, listen to the ones around it, and there'll be greater revelation. Now, till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. His return is imminent. Stay in victory. Stay in the love of God. Stay focused on the head. And let everything be fully supplied. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And this is the time to do it. Because this is a day of sorting, saith the Lord. He's sorting those who will be raptured. This is a day to be sensitive. And this is a day to be victorious and fully supplied.